Today on Real Radio.
If I'm speaking to a teenager tonight, according to the scripture, I'm to be submitting to them in the fear of the Lord. Well, how did that happen? You're older than they are. It has nothing to do with it. I am to deal with them with this in mind, to esteem them more highly than myself. If I see a six-year-old tonight, I am to be submitting to them in the awe of the Lord. That is, I'm to be thinking, speaking, and doing that which benefits them the most. Watch this. If I speak to someone who's 90 years old tonight, I am to be submitting unto them in the fear of the Lord, doing unto them what is a blessing for them. Because God has called every Christian to be a servant.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 and in a mini-series called Living the Spirit-Filled Life. This Pauline letter, as we've seen so far, can be viewed as an instruction manual, if you will, on conduct in the life of the believer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When over 75% of the earth's population goes to bed with hunger pains, we should be thankful. We become so complacent with our blessings that we don't even say thanks anymore. And you know, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it sometimes, especially when it comes to our children. I know when our kids get older, when they have to work 65 hours a week or whatever it is to get that check, and now they're going to be careful about how they spend their money. But those days are yet future. You know, are your kids like my kids, which is our cultural upbringing? We don't have the money to get that now. Go to the bank. Well, what do you think happens there? It's pretty cool. You put in that card and that machine spits out money. So just go and get more money. That's all they know. They don't see you hammering away at your job or grinding at the mill. They just see a card go into a machine and go, and then out come the money. It's cool. Quite a neat world, isn't it? There's more to it than that. But your heart can become ungrateful. And you get this. Right? It's weird. I can't think of anything more painful in my own life is when someone's ungrateful. I'm not asking for somebody to say, thank you very much. But there is something awfully heartwarming when, you know, your child says, you know what, thanks for taking us out to dinner tonight. Or a friend might say, you know what, we didn't have to go out, or we didn't have to eat this, that's neat. You're not looking for it. That's not why you did it. But it sure is sweet, isn't it? And how much more blessings does God give us every moment of the day? I mean, think about it. We were really literal about it. We should be so walking in an attitude of praise and of worship that, thank you, God, for that last breath, that little bit of perfect mixture of oxygen, nitrogen, CO. Thank you very much. It's perfect. Grateful, Lord. Heart's beating. Blood's going through my body. Thank you, Lord. See, as you get older, you start to think like this. Lord, thank you. I was able to put my shoes on today. Grateful for that. I start looking out the store for more slip-on shoes. It's a weird thing. Thank you, Lord. We need to be more grateful. Boy, you know, and these things just so much bless our lives. It's funny, you know, why should I do that? Why, you know, speak and sing and give and submitting? You know, why should, hey, you'll be better off for it. No, yeah, it's like, you're going to get a spanking. It's going to hurt me more than it's true. If you're a parent, you don't want to spank your kids. You hate it. Kids think, oh, they love this. They think, they lay awake at night thinking how they're going to beat me. No, man, it kills you. No, it really will do you good if you say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to have power in my life. I want to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I want to sing and make a melody in my heart unto you, Lord. And I want to give thanks always for all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you might want to jot it down. It's a great verse. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will of God for you? It's everything. If you're walking with Him, God is going to govern over your life. And what happens, the Lord is going to be speaking to you in it. He's going to be leading you through it. He's going to be guiding you there. In my own private life, when I'm walking with the Lord, now because my mind has always been thinking, I mean, even before I was ever in the ministry, my mind used to think about a message. Lord, what's that message you're trying to tell me? When the sun was there or the sky, something that touched my heart, if it was something of nature, I would say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And He always has spoken to me that way. I remember up in the High Sierras, I found a little trout, a little fingerling, little guy about 2.5 inches long. He was stuck. The river had subsided, and he was stuck in a little pond. It was heating up. And we were with some friends hiking, and I remember being so concerned about that little trout. It was a little German brown, and he was going to die. And my friends were like, come on, man, that's stupid. What are you doing? I go, we got to get this guy out of there. He's going to die. Big deal. And I was committed to saving this trout in this pond. Now, have you ever tried to catch a trout with your bare hands? And I am sincerely saying, Lord, please make him just come over here. Lord, you know, I'm like 22 years old. I'm talking to this fish. Come here, come here, come on. I'm trying to save you. Will you. Come on, come on, come here. And that trout came right up to me, but then he ditched himself in a bunch of moss. And I reached down there and I scooped up the moss. And I couldn't have caught him with my own hand, but the moss caught him. And I opened it up and I looked at him and he's going. And I walked over to the river and I set him in that river and he hung there for a minute and he took off. I was so glad. I was so happy about that. And the Lord showed me that night back at camp. I love you more than these fish. You are hundreds of miles from home. You're hiking on a wilderness trail. You come to this spot where that little fish is stranded. I made that little guy in that pond for you so I could tell you how much I went through to save you, and I'm not going to let you die either. Really ministered to me. I wrote it down in one of my Bibles in the footnotes. It so ministered to me. And God so often speaks in my life and to my heart like that. In everything, look for God in everything. And think on the things that are a blessing. But my thought is tonight, what if we really believe this? If we really, really believe that God was in our lives. How many of us are Christians again? Can you raise your hand again? Look, if all of us believed that what was going on in our lives right now was of the Lord, if we really believed it, we would be like Elijah and his servant. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah and his servant, the king is all upset and he's going to kill Elijah. He's fed up. So they send out troops and they surround Elijah. And his servant wakes up and looks out, goes outside, you know, he's scratching his beard, looking around, and he sees all of the army surrounding Elijah's fort, Elijah's little tent. And he comes back inside and he says, Elijah, we're going to die. They're surrounding us. We're going to perish. And Elijah, it's so casual. Elijah just goes, Lord, open up his eyes so he can see that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, the servant had to say, are you stupid? There's 7,000 soldiers out there with spears and chariots and horses. There's just you and me in this tent. Now, why don't you just get real for a minute and panic and know we're going to die here any second. And Elijah just says, Lord, open his eyes. So he walks back out there and looks around and he sees over the heads of all of these soldiers, God's angelic host of warriors, angelic beings. Can you imagine? Oh. That is seeing the Lord in everything. Elijah already knew that God's people were there. God's angels were there. That's the way we ought to walk. When we pull out of here tonight and we go, he's with us. And there's an angelic realm all around us taking place. You may be all alone in some alley in L.A. You're not alone. God's there. He's always there. Finally, this, verse 21, being under his control, under the Spirit's control in how we live this life. And here's the word. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. This verse, by the way, sets the stage for from verses 22 through on to the rest of the book. It sets it for home life, it sets it for friends and family life, and it sets it for Christian warfare, beginning in chapter 6, verse 10. It starts right here in verse 21. Being under the Spirit's control is that we'll be submitted and submissive people. And our culture says, no, don't be submissive, assert yourself. God says, no, humble yourself. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. This word fear, first of all, to dispel any confusion, it means awe. Submitting to one another in the awe of God. And it is submitting to one another, it is all of us. Even though verse 22 goes on about the home life, verse 21 speaks about all of us. Now watch this. If I'm speaking to a teenager tonight, according to the scripture, I'm to be submitting to them in the fear of the Lord. Well, how did that happen? You're older than they are. It has nothing to do with it. I am to deal with them with this in mind, to esteem them more highly than myself. If I see a six-year-old tonight, I am to be submitting to them in the awe of the Lord. That is, I'm to be thinking, speaking, and doing that which benefits them the most. Watch this. If I speak to someone who's 90 years old tonight, I am to be submitting unto them in the fear of the Lord. Doing unto them what is a blessing for them. Why? Because God has called every Christian to be a servant. Jesus Christ himself came as a servant. Jesus said, whoever is great among you, let him become your servant. Jesus says, I'm your master, but look, I've taken on myself the ministry of a servant, and I've served one another. I've served you tonight. Now you get up and serve one another. That is submitting unto God in the fear of the Lord. Whoever in this church thinks they're in any position at all ordained of God, I'm not talking about self-position. If you think you're something, you're nothing. And you better be careful lest you fall. But if God has raised you up in some kind of capacity to do anything for his glory, that means you have been brought into the position as a servant. This is the way the kingdom works. If you want to be a CEO of some Fortune 500 movement, then you need to go get a job at IBM or something, right? This is important because you don't get involved in church activity to be the one that's got your name on the wall or your name on the door. That's twisted. That's weird. If anybody in this church is something, they should be a servant all the more. I have a very difficult time of ministry or ministers who are not spirit-filled, and you can spot them a mile away. And here's how you can tell. They're condescending. They grace you with their presence when they come into the room. They might say things like, "What can I do for you? You can't do anything for me. God can do all things for me." They can look at somebody and manipulate them because they're showing their disdain. And it gets people to jump in fear of the Lord or fear of them. It's manipulation. It's not spirit-led and spirit-filled. It's wrong. If you are a minister, a pastor, a priest, or whatever, you are to be putting on an apron and serving. If anybody is going to sit and relax, it should be the sheep. But never should a so-called minister have people ministering to him and setting up some little kingdom deal. It's weird. It's not Jesus. Jesus takes off his robe and puts on his, it's like a gourd, you know, it's like a jockey underwear thing. Well, that's kind of humbling. That's exactly right. And then he gets a bucket of water and a towel, and he begins to wash these knuckleheads' feet. That's awesome. Who's great in the kingdom of God? Let him become the servant of all. That's the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, there are people in ministry who see it different. You can read more about that in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit has happening in their life what's recorded in Philippians 2, verse 3, where it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for your own interest, but for the interest of the other. And let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be in you also." Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine Jesus on the cross? Somebody says, "Oh, Savior, come down from the cross and save yourself." Can you imagine Jesus going, "Hey, don't you know who you're talking to?" No, I just hung in there, literally. We need to be more like that. And we can be like that, being spirit-filled. This submission needs to be a lifestyle of practice in our lives. We're almost done. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33, it says, "Then Jesus came to Capernaum," beautiful place. "And when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves with on the road?'" This is great. "But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves about who would be the greatest." Guys. "And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first or great, let him be the last. For he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that those who consider themselves to be rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I want to ask you tonight, honestly tonight, what do you need? You, me, tonight, what do you need? What do you need in your life? If the Bible is going to be active and working truly in this church, it's going to be coming from, what you need is going to be coming from quite possibly those that are around you in the body. God has ordained body ministry. And so what is your need? A couple weeks ago, I went down the hallway and there's a lady standing there, and I don't know why I said this. But I went up to this lady and I said, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, I'm okay." And it came out of my mouth before I knew what I was even saying. And I said, "You know, you need to go on into that sanctuary there and you need to reach out because you need friends to help you along in this Christian walk. You need friends." And I just started to turn to walk away until I saw her big, big tears flowing down her cheeks. And that's why she had come to Calvary Chapel that morning. She had asked God, "Lord, I need friends." And I told her, "You're not going to find them in the hallway, kiddo. You need to get inside the sanctuary." I don't know why I said that. I didn't know anything. There wasn't no fingers pointing at this lady, you know, say she needs friends. But I ministered to her. And you are to minister one to another. And finally, submission leads to authority. Submission leads to authority. It's a fact. Submission. Ask Barnabas about it. Barnabas was a very submissive man that God raised up in authority. Believe it or not, Paul the Apostle was a very submissive man. Paul had no problem following directions, and God raised him up. There's a man-made, man-ordained authority, and then there's a God-made and a God-ordained authority. And God-ordained leadership is marked by meekness and humility and gentleness, and by the way, an inspiration and a dedication to esteem others, to see to it that others are raised up around them. Man-ordained authority exalts self, and it's not from God. All this the Lord has arranged if we only ask Him to be filled with the Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Living the Spirit-Filled Life, it's actually a mini-series taken from Ephesians 5. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio, you know what's happening beginning this Friday at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, the Southern California Prophecy Conference. Pastor Jack is here, and your excitement is pretty apparent.
We're so excited, Mike. This coming Friday, the conference begins. We're encouraging everyone throughout the Southern California area to attend. And so space is limited, so the first come, first serve basis. We can house about 3,000 people per service. But listen, come and join us this Friday. We're very excited.
There's no charge for it this year?
The price has been waived because this is a time of global crisis. We took that price tag off, and the Lord will provide for us as a church. We want everybody to come to this conference.
Okay, well, visit either realradioactive.org or SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Either way, they both direct you to the site that provides you with all the information you need about the Southern California Prophecy Conference that starts this Friday, including accommodations if you're from out of town, restaurants, certainly times and directions, and the fact that there is no registration fee this year. Absolutely free. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.